think I should tell the story about the Catholic lady here who insists that I was baptized and that's the reason I'm saved? You really think I should say that? Well, you know, I might as well because she's not listening to this show. So I think I will tell this little tale. It's a true story because the topic du jour is baptism. A lot of people argue about the mode of baptism. Do you need to be dunked? Can you just be sprinkled? I'm going to solve all these conflicts here because in Paul's gospel, I'm getting ahead of myself, but baptism's not required. What about the circumcision gospel? Ho-ho, that's another story. So anyway, I was trying to tell this guest we had here, who's a friend of Juliana's, that I was saved because of Jesus Christ at the cross. And what does she do? She says, well, you're an ex-Catholic, right? I said, yes, and I want to emphasize the ex part of that. And she says, well, you're good then. I said, what do you mean I'm good then? She goes, well, you're good because you were baptized as a baby. I said, yeah, okay, then you're safe. You're safe. And I insisted to her, no. I renounced my Catholicism when I was 18. I have no part of it. And she's like, yeah. I know all that, but you're good because you were baptized. And it really infuriated me because she was laying my salvation at the feet of a rite, R-I-T-E, performed by a priest, a ceremony. And so I threw her for a loop next. What I did was I said, well, you know, there's a story. My parents told me later that when I was taken to the baptismal font, the priest was just getting ready to sprinkle the water on me. And apparently, according to my parents, I moved my head as, you know, six-month-olds are wont to do. I moved my head and the water missed me. The water missed me. She had a look of alarm at first. It was like, oh my God, maybe he's not saved. I was trying to make a point to her that to say that a ceremony determines my eternal life with God was absolutely absurd. I don't think she got it. She goes, nah, she was probably like, no priest would ever miss. No priest would ever sprinkle and miss. No, never. We're going through 31 differences here, starting a new week between Paul's gospel, and he calls it my gospel, and the gospel given to Peter, that is the gospel of the circumcision. In the gospel of the circumcision, water baptism is required. Now, I will introduce this first by saying that in the circumcision gospel, you are looking at one thing and one thing only. You're looking at salvation into the 1,000-year kingdom. You're not looking at eternal life because, again, eternal life doesn't depend on a ceremony. Eternal life doesn't depend on sprinkling water, dunking in water, nothing. Eternal life for the entire human race depends on Jesus Christ's work on the cross. That alone. But if you're talking about entrance into a specific club, which is Israel into the 1,000 years, you're talking about a specific club for a specific period of time, the one who stands at the gate is, which is Jesus Christ, has the right to say what you have to do to get into that kingdom. Again, this is a requirement for entrance into the 1,000-year kingdom. Now, this is Acts 2:38. Peter is saying to them, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the pardon of your sins, and you shall be obtaining the gratuity of the Holy Spirit. This was on the heels of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. This was the day of Pentecost. The Jews, as a nation, had just killed their own Messiah, and they needed to repent of it and be baptized. And I will never forget a bumper sticker. I've told you this before, but it fits here perfectly, that I saw one day. I was minding my own business, living happily in the grace of God, as I tend to do. The driver of the car was obviously a religious person who mixed the two gospels and purchased this bumper sticker from one of your standard issue Christian bumper sticker companies, which of course also mixed the two gospels. And the bumper sticker said this, obey Acts 2:38. Obey Acts 2:38. Oh, that's an anachronistic demand. It's depressing and it ruined my day. I mean, if I had taken it seriously, it's like, oh my God, I'm still not good enough. I have to be baptized. I have to obey Acts 2:38. Obedience, obedience. Besides, forget the fact I'm not even an Israelite. Forget that fact for a second. I'm not living in the first century. I wasn't complicit in the death of the Messiah, in the murder of my own Messiah. Wasn't there? Didn't do it. So what does this have to do with me? How dare you, car bumper sticker person, try to indict me with this stupid bumper sticker? If I hadn't known better about this sign, it would have ruined my day. But I felt sorry for the person, and I just continued reveling in the grace of God, which I have without getting wet. I don't have to get wet. You don't have to get wet to revel in the grace of God. Yet, there was a day when baptism was required. There was also a day, as I've always said to you and will continue to say, when you were required to lead your little lamb, your poor innocent unblemished lamb, to Jerusalem and watch while its little cute little throat was slit. Smearing blood on your doorpost. There was a time when smearing blood on your doorpost saved you. That was in Egypt. It's a relative salvation, but it's still salvation. There was a day when you had to circumcise your male sons on the eighth day, and God help you if you do it on the seventh day or the ninth day. What are you, crazy? Acts 2:38 was a call for repentance broadcast to a people who were freshly guilty of killing their own Messiah. That's right. And the word repent is a generic word. It means to become sorry, to change your mind. That's what it literally means, change your mind, and to become sorry as hell for committing this heinous crime, for killing Christ. Did you crucify the Messiah? No, I wasn't there. I can show you my passport. I was actually in Europe when Christ was crucified, and I was not in Jerusalem. I have proof. I didn't do it. So don't try to obey Acts 2:38. Revel in the grace of God instead. And yet this is requirement at that time for Israel. At that time. But actually, truth be known, not even Israelites today need to do this because they weren't complicit either. So it doesn't even apply to them, but there was a day when it was required. Now I'm going to tell you how much it doesn't apply to us. Where do you see how much it doesn't apply to us? For Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, and then in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, for Christ does not commission me to be baptizing, but to be bringing the evangel, not in wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ be made void. We're saved, again, it goes back to what I told that Catholic lady here, the cross of Christ, that is what saved me. And you will make the cross of Christ void by insisting on any kind of ceremony for salvation. You don't want to do that. Now, what is literal baptism? It cleanses. It unites people ceremonially. It doesn't do anything practically. It's pure ceremony. It's pure symbolism. Baptism is the water. There's no magic qualities. Okay? And it unites people under a common head. Figurative baptism cleanses and unites by means of spirit. It accomplishes what water baptism accomplished minus the towel. You don't need a towel for this. Water baptism pictured something. It pictured a union. For instance, those who were baptized into John were like, we're on the same page with John. John's our boy. We like John. Today, you and I, Romans 6, verses 3 through 4, we are baptized into Christ's death. We have total identification with Christ, with his death, with his entombment, with his resurrection, and with his glorification. Water baptism was the shadow of this reality, and total identification with Jesus Christ is the substance. The shadow taught us what it was. Okay, this is John's baptism. It's identifying me with John. Then this is the Holy Spirit baptism. Identifies me with the Holy Spirit. This baptism identifies us with Christ's death, entombment, resurrection, and glorification. But it doesn't require a towel. So now that we have the substance, now that we know what this water baptism was picturing, this reality of being identified with Christ, it's foolish and dumb to return to the shadow, much like an adult sucking a pacifier. No, it's baby-like. Again, there was a day when it saved. Does this mean that repentance and baptism are necessary today? Should we be preaching the message that the cross of Christ saves us from sin, or that we should be baptized? Which message should we be teaching today? Obviously, that the cross of Christ saves us from sin, and not that we should be baptized. It's anachronistic, belongs to a previous era. It's went the way of the dinosaurs. And the question is, this is a question we ought to be asking ourselves. I'll close with this thought. What has God said about baptism lately? Because ignoring what God has said lately about any important topic could cause a person to do a really, really dumb things like building an ark, circumcising for salvation, or sacrificing sheep. Okay, here's Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For in one spirit also, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all are made to imbibe one spirit. So Paul brought a new nation, a new message to the nations. And yes, Paul did baptize a few people early on. That's true. Not into John's baptism, but into the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul's ministry, you got to remember this, went from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. There were some primitive things Paul did at first as a bit of an identification with Christ. But then he completely abandons it because he was not commissioned to be baptizing. So the Paul of the middle of the book of Acts is not the Paul of Ephesians, because his ministry went from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul gradually removed all rites, all ceremonies from his message. So it eventually and finally became a message of pure grace. That's where it stands today. That's where we are. Today there's only one baptism, Ephesians 4:5, and it ain't water, folks. Or are you ignorant? This is Ephesians 4:5. Are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death? We then were entombed together with him through baptism into death, that even as Christ was roused from among the dead through the glory of the Father, thus we also should be walking in newness of life. And I love to get this question. When people ask me if I've been baptized, I have the opportunity to herald Christ. I say, yes, I was baptized. Well, Martin Zender was baptized? What? Yeah. I was baptized 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross for my sake. That baptism was a picture. The water was a picture of my identification with Christ. Baptizing in water today denies the great truth of baptism into Christ's death. You might as well be returning to the killing of lambs for the forgiveness of sins. And I don't think we want to do that. The lambs are just too cute.